For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast. My name is CT McManus, and for the next 2 hours, it is my job to get my mind off the craziness of the world out there. See what I did there? Yeah, it's my job to get your mind off the craziness of the world out there. But those who follow me personally know that this past week has been an insane week for me, guys. I want to thank each and every member of the Rock and Roll Union, family, friends, for reaching out to me this past week. If you haven't heard, the lovely Dee went down with COVID this past week. She's been in the hospital since Monday. She wasn't feeling good the week previous, so you guys heard me mention that a little bit last week. Turned out that she was dealing with COVID, and she's been in the hospital ever since. This show tonight, I want to dedicate to the lovely Dee, to my wife, my best friend. She's doing better. She's on the mend. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that she comes home tomorrow, maybe Monday. But, guys, if you're out there, you're dealing with the COVID situation, my heart goes out to you because now I know firsthand exactly what that's all about. So, guys, just if you don't know the full thing, I'm not trying to get into full politics here, but if you don't know everything about COVID, just – don't say anything, because sometimes people have the best of intentions. They got their politics on their sleeve, and they just want to reach out and feel like they know everything when they're not even dealing with it personally. Personally, I don't know the whole ins and outs. I don't know everything. I just know that my wife is dealing with it, and I've been praying all week, and you guys have been on my side. You've been such a blessing. Dealing with the Rock and Roll Union this past week has been my saving grace, so I want to thank each and every member of you guys out there. We have an exciting show for you this evening, guys. We are being joined by, I'm really, really amped to talk to this guy, Bill McClintock. If you guys are unaware of Bill McClintock's mashups, man, he is amazing. He's a genius at what he does. He takes two different songs, sometimes three, sometimes four. He adds different songs, and he makes it into something so uniquely different than the original song. but it works perfectly. We're going to play a couple tracks for you coming up just shortly. Also wanted to say a big shout out to our sponsors and our partners. First off, with Rosenfeld Dental Associates, located at 1095 Inman Avenue in Edison, New Jersey, 5 minutes from Metro Parks. You can find them at www.njsmile.com. Come Rock Your Smile with the Rock Doc. David Rosenfeld, nominated one of New Jersey's top dentists for 2020. Discounts apply for Rock and Roll Union members. Tell them that CT sent you. Second one, I just got the shipment today, and boy, man, I got to say, just seeing that box on my step made me smile so big. Phoenix Custom Printing, the premier printing for all your rock and roll needs, guys. They are the premier printer of and the exclusive printer of the Rock and Roll Union. They have your T-shirts, your any kind of merch that you could think of. They're there to help you out, guys. Make sure you check them out. The phone number is 410-206-2081. Once again, that number is 410-206-2081. Or you can send him an email at phoenixcustominc@gmail.com. He also is, the same gentleman is the owner of, Shepper Rock Photography. Sorry, guys, my mind went blank there for a second. Shepper Rock Photography. If you need any kind of band photos done, you need anything in that realm, he even does family photos, reach out to him. Same gentleman. But Phoenix Custom Printing, guys, if you're looking to get T-shirts done for any reason, whether it be your rock merch needs or family gatherings or whatever the case might be, make sure you reach out to him. Once again, that number is 410-206-2081. And the last partner that we have that I'm very, very excited because I know what's up in store for us, Brett Hunt Customs, guys. The home of pick sticks and laminates. He's also doing event posters now. He's also stepping up his game in many different areas, man. You want to reach out to him. He has exclusive discounts for Rock and Roll Union members. He's right now, your artwork is free. You're only paying for the supplies of the picks. Guys, we have Rock and Roll Union custom picks. We struck up a partnership with Brett Hunt Customs. Every Rock and Roll Union event that is coming up, you will have your exclusive pick to that event minus the event that's coming up next week. But you want to reach out to Brett Hunt Customs. That phone number is 410-508-1233. Once again, that number is 410-508-1233. I spoke about that upcoming event that we have coming up. That is Friday night, guys. That is my first night off quarantine, man. I've tested negative, thank God, but I still had to quarantine, still had to do the responsible thing, stay home, make sure I'm not spreading that stuff to nobody else. First night off quarantine, Rock and Roll Union at North Step Productions proudly present Roxy Blue at Buhr in Atlantic City, man. I am so amped for this show. You guys not only get Roxy Blue, one of the best groups around, you get Tonal Crush. You're also getting the Goons, and you're getting my boys in Zenora, man. Zenora, if you have not seen them yet, that is the new torch of rock and roll. Those guys are barely 21 years old, and they put on a show that you are not going to want to miss, man. So getting to a couple other things. Like I said, I'm going to play a track from Bill McClintock so you get a little idea of who he is, what he does. And this is the new one, man. He mashed up Iron Maiden and The Doors, two of my favorite groups, man. And this really, really came out well. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. This is Iron Doors, 2 minutes to L.A.
Wait a little. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Resume.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls, and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2,
May 15th,
featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union House Band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey.
Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. It is my extreme pleasure and with great happiness, I bring to you guys Bill McClintock. Bill, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, man. So I got to say right off the bat that you're probably, you know, I view you as one of my favorite rock stars right now. some of the things that you do just completely blow my mind. I've been doing this based off of what YouTube has as your first video in 2017, you and I have been running about the same amount of time doing what we're doing. How did you get into mashups, man? How did you, and did you do it longer than when you first posted on YouTube?
Well, the first one that I did, like you said, 2017, that was, I'm a musician. I'm a guitar player. Been playing guitar for a long time. Kind of grew bored with that. Didn't really, I wasn't in a band, never really wanted to be in a band. And still wanted to do something with music. And, I had seen and heard a lot of mashups that people had done on YouTube especially, and was inspired by some of those and just kind of thought, well, I understand the basic concept of what they're doing, finding instrumental tracks of songs and finding isolated vocal tracks of other songs and basically putting them together. And, having a background in music, I had a sense of some things that would work and would fit together and just started doing, I did one, the very first one I did, which is no longer on YouTube. It was taken down for copyright. I had a copyright strike. It was Motley Crue and Steely Dan.
Wow.
It was an unlikely combo. It was the Looks to Kill by Motley Crue. It was that instrumental and Do It Again, that vocal from Steely Dan. And, the two songs, although you wouldn't think it, they're musically compatible. They're in the same key, around the same tempo and phrasing wise and everything. They work well together. And I said, okay, well, I'll try to do this. And, that first idea coming up with that combination, it took a long time because I had never done it before. So I didn't really, it was a lot of trial and error, and I might have tried some other things before that, but I kind of found those and using GarageBand just on my computer, on my Mac, I just had the tracks there and just kind of edited things together until it sounded like a song and then made a video to go along with it from on iMovie. And I had that YouTube channel for a while. I just never put anything on it. I had nothing to put on it, but then I started to get into the mashup thing and completed that first one and put it on and just started making more and more after that. And, eventually it caught on. So that's kind of how it started.
You brought up something that I, one of the questions that I was actually going to ask you was the copyright and, how many issues have you had dealing with copyright issues, or has anybody said anything regarding copyright?
Yeah, well, basically the way it goes is because of the fact that I run ads or I allow YouTube to run ads on my videos, most of the stuff that I do, most of the videos that I put together, the mashups that I make they're allowed to stay on YouTube. But YouTube will never give me any money for it, because it's not the original works. I don't own the rights to, the record companies own the rights to those. So any, ads that are played on my videos, any of the money generated will go to the artists or to the record companies, which is like, I knew that going into it. I was like, well, this is really just for fun. This is like a musical outlet for me. And, people are starting to get into it and everything. So, you know, I didn't care. I was like, okay, this is just fun and everything. And every once in a while, a video will be blocked because it's usually due to the video part of it, not the audio, but the video that, you know, it's a music video or something that I'll have clips from to go along with it. And sometimes they'll be blocked for that. And you can dispute them. And every once in a while you get one that's unblocked and you don't have any more issues, which, you know, it, from time to time that'll happen. But the thing that really sucks is the ones that they give you a copyright strike for. It's a takedown. It's different than it being blocked. I have no idea what accounts for that difference. Why
right.
Sometimes they're blocked, sometimes they're just taken down. And so if that happens, if they take it down instead of just blocking it, they give you a copyright strike. And that strike stays on your account for 90 days.
Wow.
And then within that 90-day period, if you get two more, so you have a total of three, they delete your account and you're done.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, and that's happened to a lot of people. Could happen to me. I don't know. You know, and I've heard sometimes people who will get copyright strikes, they contact the company, the record company who filed the complaint, you know, and sometimes they have luck with having a strike removed, which honestly, I mean, with the amount of subscribers I have now, I think it would be worth trying at least, you know, next time I do get a strike, just try to contact them and be like, look, you know, I'll take the video down and whatever else, but, you know, please remove the strike because I don't want to lose that the whole account that I
right.
spent, you know, years building now, and you know that would suck.
Now,
so,
have you ever had any of the artists that you've matched up contact you? Have you contacted any of the artists?
I've had, let me see, I think only one that actually reached out and contacted me, and it was actually. The Marvin Gaye and Rat one that I did, and it was Bobby Blotzer from Rat, the drummer. You know, he found me through Facebook, and he didn't even have an account. It was his wife's account, and he
right.
And so I'm like, who's Michelle Blotzer? Like, who's this person contacting me? But it was, you know, it was him, and he was saying, you know, how much he liked it. He thought it was so awesome and everything. And, you know,
that's great.
Some of the stuff that you're asking me, like how I did it, how I got the idea and this kind of thing. But he was, yeah, like he wanted to, like, he gave me his number. He's like, give me a call. And so, you know, I was talking to him for a while. And
that's awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. It was
See,
great,
I mean,
you know?
One of the greatest things about what you do is you bring some of the songs that may not be known or, I mean, forgotten or not even realized by some of the younger generation, you bring that music back and you kind of bring it into the forefront again. And
exactly.
I got to applaud you for that because me being the rock guy that I am, I really like any way that we can get a foothold into any kind of part of society is great. But I got to ask you, because it boggles my mind, have you had any kind of training or education as far as music, like fully into music, have you had any training as far as that, or have you had any kind of theory training?
Yes, a lot. I went to college for music, so so I did. I studied it. Like I don't know what my goal was as I was, you know, 18 years old to, you know, go to college for music. Now I'm a music teacher. That's what I do for my, you know, for my living. I teach elementary music, which is great. You know, it's an awesome job. I love the kids. You know, it's fantastic. But, you know, at that time, as an 18-year-old, you know, I had played guitar for, 4 or 5 years. I had my guitar teacher, who was really my mentor, and suggested, like, hey, you know, you're talented at this. If you want to, it's, you know, it's up to you. But if you want, you would be somebody who could do this for a living if you wanted to go and actually go to college, learn all about the music theory, learn about the music industry, basically the recording part of it, which is what I went to school for. I went to Duquesne in Pittsburgh, you know, and studied music technology and studied guitar along with that. And then, you know, I took all the music theory courses and music history and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird that I ended up doing the mashups, because it's like I was getting training to be able to do it, but just didn't know, you know, like that this is what I was going to do and kind of be known for and have a lot of people be really into, because I learned about the technology, the you know, how to sequence music using a computer, how to take tracks and mix them together and that kind of stuff. And I learned how to do all that, but at that time didn't think, okay, I'm going to do mashups someday, you know. It just kind of fell
right into
it. You know, so it's just kind of funny, just having the training for that very thing, but not realizing it at the time.
Now, do you play any of the mashups for your students? And if so, what do they think about it?
I do, but the thing is that they're all, it's elementary. So I have kindergarten through sixth grade.
Gotcha.
So they think it's cool that I have a YouTube channel and that I have a lot of subscribers and everything. But as far as appreciating the music part of it, they just don't really get it, because you have to know the songs, you know, and they
right,
and I try as much as I can to expose them to those things. I'll play some rock music for them to listen, you know, just especially now, because I haven't had kids in my classroom this entire school year. They've been home. They have an option to come to school for a half day for reading and math, but for their specials classes for music, art, gym, whatever, it's all virtual. We do it all on Zoom. And so, I mean, playing music for them and having them listen to it and respond, I've kind of taken that opportunity to play just like some rock and roll stuff for them, like some Deep Purple, some Van Halen, you know, Black Sabbath, like stuff that I really like. And like, I'm just,
right,
I'm really, because I mean, we can't do any instruments. They're not in the classroom. So I have them listen to a lot of stuff, and sometimes I'll have them listen to some mashups, and, you know, I mean, they think it's cool, but they don't really get it the way somebody who's older, who
right,
would really know that music already, would have more of an appreciation for it. So,
I mean, I got to ask, just because of you doing what you do for a living, I had no idea previous to this interview that you were a elementary music teacher. Your mm-hmm. thoughts as far as the younger generation and the music that they're into, and is there hope as far as rock and roll is concerned in that generation?
That's a great question. I wish I had more of a positive outlook and, you know, as far as the direction of music and everything like that. And it's funny because, I mean, you know, the kind of stuff that I'm into, just based on the mashups that I put together.
Right.
Most of it is from, you know, at least a lot of it is from before I was even born. You know, I'm 40. I was born in 1980. But, you know, I do a lot of stuff from the 70s. And, you know, some stuff from the 80s, too, and everything. I mean, that's the stuff that I like. And that's, you know, and stuff that my dad would listen to. And, you know, I was exposed to that as a kid. And I ended up really liking it. And, you know, it just seems as the years go on, I just, you know, stuff the kids listen to now, I don't get it at all. You know?
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that, you know, trap music and that kind of thing. And just like, I'm like, what is the appeal?
I mean, I got to admit, I went out and bought my son this past week a book. He's two, so it was a little kid's book called The History of Rock. And at the end of the book, it's talking about the future of rock, and on the wall of the kids at the end of the story is like Kings of Leon and Imagine Dragons. And I'm like, what am I teaching my son here?
I know exactly. And I, you know, I take that, I mean, for my own kids, I have two kids of my own, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. And anytime they're in the car, I have like the, you know, Hair Nation or Ozzy's Boneyard on
right,
Sirius XM, like all that kind of stuff. Play, because I mean, that's what, and I think they should hear it, and I, you know, and I think it's good, and you know, I want to expose them to that if I can. You know, of course, my wife's doing the complete opposite, playing, you know, like you say, Imagine Dragons and that, you know, that kind of all the new pop.
Yeah,
music.
God knows how many arguments I've had with my wife on that. So.
Oh yeah.
Well, like, I wanted to take a brief pause because we're going to play one of your other tracks. But we're going to do the Van Halen, Stevie Wonder, Chained All Right. Chained Up Tight. Sorry, my screen's so small. But what got you into that? And I also wanted to ask, Before we go into this song, have you ever had to change the tempo or the way that a song comes across? Have you had to change that to make it fit just right?
Yeah, there's always sometimes the changes are really slight, sometimes more so. And typically, at least 9 times out of 10, I'll change the tempo of the vocal. I'll try to keep the instrumental as intact as I can. And I'll change the tempo, you know, if I have to speed it up or slow it down slightly. And that's something that is really easy to do just in the software that I use for my Mac. It's just a matter of stretching it or shrinking it just to make the tempo. So, you know, horizontally stretching it or shrinking it just to make the tempo fit. You have to do that pretty much with everything. Sometimes it's very small. Sometimes it's a little more. And the key... Yes. Normally not by more than a half step for either the instrumental or the vocal, depending on what's, you know, on what the two keys are. But the best is when you don't have to change the key. Because anytime you do that, you're going to lose a little quality on either the instrumental or the vocal. So it's nice when you have two that are in exactly the same key. You don't have to change anything. A lot of times I'll change rhythms in the vocal part. So I'll move some things just to make it groove or to make it fit with whatever rhythm is happening in the instrumental. I'll change part of the vocal here and there. So as subtly as I can, just to make it work.
Now with with this one in particular, the Van Halen and the Stevie Wonder, I really see as you go through a lot of your mashups that you not only have the rock side, but you also have the Motown, you have the R&B, you have that 70s style that you kick back to a little bit also with the Bee Gees and stuff. How did this one come into play? And, like, when does it dawn on you that, hey, man, we can make this fit?
Well, I think it was that one that I mentioned, the Marvin Gaye. That was the one that I first put together where they put me on the map. It was like, you know, it went viral, I guess. You know, it had 500,000 views within a few days, which is way more. I didn't have anything close on my channel. And, you know, people were really into that, and they were calling it soul metal, you know, mixing the soul vocals with the hard rock or the heavy metal from Rat. And I didn't think much of it before I put them together, but then afterwards I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing, you know? And I tried more of those. I tried to do it, and I did a lot with the Temptations using their vocals. You know, I did it with a Danzig song or with Black Label Society, and you know, just a few more also. But it's a great combo having those, because I mean, soul music is just fantastic. I love it, you know. But those vocals, and a lot of them are just so powerful, and to have those powerful vocals in a rock or a metal setting, it just works.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Well, you know, and people love it, and I wanted to do more of those because, I mean, I like it too. It's a really cool thing. And the one that you're about to play, the Stevie Wonder and Van Halen, I almost didn't do that. I was like, I wasn't going to do it. And in fact, I have my Patreon page where people can go on there and support me. And one of the things that I feature are mashups that didn't make the cut, like ones that I thought would work, but then started putting them together and I didn't like them and I didn't finish them. And I would, you know, I have that on my page where people can go on and listen to them. And they were listening to the first minute or so of what I had started with that, the Stevie Wonder and Van Halen. And they're like, dude, this is awesome. You got to do this. You got to finish it. And I said, well, okay, I will. You know, if enough people thought it was cool and, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, there were a couple of notes in the vocal melody that didn't work, so I had to change them. You know, I didn't want to do that, especially to Stevie Wonder. I didn't want to mess up anything, you know, on his end. You know, this is what a brilliant musician he is. And but I'm like, you know what? I have to do it. I have to change the note, or it's just going to sound out of tune. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll just do it, and hopefully people will like it. And you know, then it ended up turning out okay. It sounded pretty good.
Man, I think it's great. We're going to go ahead and listen to that right now, and then we're going to come back. I still got a few more things I'd love to talk to you about. But here is Van Wonder with Chained Up Tight. All right, so that was Van Wonder with Chained Up Tight. Like I said, I'm sorry, my screen is so small with the playlist. But Bill, man, I got to say, one of the newest songs that you came out with that, like, I jokingly said it was my song into insanehood was the Sweatin' Robins.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that, dude. That was like. Perfect. How long does it take you to put a mashup together?
Well, after I have the concept and, you know, I start to work on it and start to say, yes, I can definitely do this one. It depends. I mean, sometimes I go over and over and over again, making small changes, you know, and I mean, it's several hours. I would say maybe around 20 hours, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of that time is just listening to it over and over. I mean, I feel like I listen to them 100 times before I'm, like, really satisfied. And there's, you know, it's a weird process because you think that the more you do something, the better you get at it and the easier it gets. But I don't feel like that's the case, you know. I feel like it's difficult. It's, you know, I've been doing them almost 4 years, and it's still really tough. And I, you know, I feel like I have one and like I'm finished with it, but then I'm like, no, I have to change this. I have to make this subtle change here and there. And I've done a thing where I have it ready to go on my channel. Like it's already uploaded, but I have it set to private, so I'm not going to share it yet. And then I listened to it a few times. I was like, no, this still isn't right. I have to take it down. I have to fix it. I mean, it's just like a perfectionist with it, I guess. And it's just, you know, and it's tough, but I mean, that takes some time. And then there's the video part of it too. Once the audio is done, I make the video, and that's a separate process. And that can take a long time. That can take several hours. But it's, you know, I enjoy doing it. So it's, although it's work, it doesn't really feel like work, but you know, that
right.
one that you're talking about, the sweating Robins, that was like, I don't know if I should do this one. This is just really goofy. And like, I wanted to do it with, in fact, somebody suggested, well, why don't you try, you know, I think Jailhouse Rock by Elvis. I think it was that one, to go along with the Sweating Bullets song, like that instrumental from Megadeth.
Right.
Like, well, let me try that. And I was like, what was, you know, I didn't have a clean, isolated vocal track. So I'm like, I can't really do it anyway. And it's, you know, even so, it might not have worked entirely. And I'm like, well, what else can I do here? And I was thinking, well, there's the, you know, Rockin' Robin, which I had that concept a while ago. I don't know why I never did it, but to do that with the Dave Mustaine vocals, and I'm like, it's the two songs are really similar. The way the form of the song goes, they're really similar, which sound, especially during the, I mean, during the verses, they it's why they work so well. And it's just,
now,
it's such a,
you know, I gotta
it's
ask
such a
you,
highlight
it,
of his voice.
While you're doing these things, do you get as much of a kick out of it as we do watching it? Like, some of these things are so like off left field that it makes us laugh so hard. Like, are you laughing while you're putting this together?
There are times when I'm absolutely cracking up, you know. And the one thing that I laughed really hard at, in fact, it was the one that you just played, the Van Wonder, and it was the part, you know, during that bridge in the middle, where, you know, Dave's going on, hey man, that suit is you, and there's Stevie Wonder in his suit dancing as Dave is saying all that stuff. And I put in those like those vocal responses that I got from Sir Duke, a different Stevie Wonder song, but where he's going like, yeah, yeah, and like, you know, like he's responding to what Dave is saying. It's like Dave is taunting him, you know. And Stevie's got this big smile on his face. When I put the video part, I was like crying. I was laughing so hard. And that happens every once in a while.
It wouldn't be me if I didn't ask you. Are you working on something currently? And can we expect something soon?
Well, I have one that I just did that I completed, but it's not, it wasn't really for my channel, for my YouTube channel. It was for this, it's a compilation album that there's another guy, somebody I'm friends with on Facebook who put together years ago. He did this thing called Rock Wars, where it's just a bunch of mashup artists will contribute to it. And, do something rock themed, which, you know, all of mine are really. And
right.
He asked if I would do one, and I did. And so, like, it's supposed to be an original, that one that I haven't posted anywhere, you know, an exclusive for that album. And so I just finished that a couple days ago. And it might make it to my channel. I don't know. I mean, I want to wait until after they put out that album. But it's Quiet Riot. I'll say that there's Quiet Riot involved, and there's Free, a band Free.
Oh yeah.
And there's a little bit of Van Halen in it too, so I can say that. So that might make it to my channel. I haven't made a video for that yet. It's just the audio. So possibly, and you know, I'm looking for other things now. In fact, I spent some time this morning just going through, and I try not to spend too much time on any one idea, meaning like if I have
right.
an instrumental that I really like, trying to look for all these different vocals that'll work, because you can drive yourself crazy finding things that are like close but don't quite work and stuff like that. You know, I've been wanting to do something with Kiss. I don't think I've ever done any Kiss instrumentals, at least. I've done some stuff with their vocals. I Was Made for Loving You, that one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is like their most pop kind of, at least around that time, that's like more of a dance or disco song almost. I want to do something with that. I think there's got to be something I could put with it that would be funny as hell. So I'm just I'm trying some stuff with that. I don't, you know, I mean, possibly, but so, I mean, I'm always looking for combos. And once I find something, I'll start working. And usually within about a week, I can finish it once I start working it out and everything. So, yeah, but before too long, I try not to let too much time go between whenever I upload to YouTube and whenever I put the next one out.
Man. So one thing I wanted to touch base on, you had mentioned it earlier, your Patreon account. How do people go about, like, subscribing to that, finding that?
They can, if they want to just look, well, I mean, a couple different things you could do, because I advertise it on my YouTube channel, which my YouTube channel is just my name, just Bill McClintock. And so you could do it that way, or if anybody would want to go onto Patreon and just search directly on there, it would just be under McClintock Mashups. And then what I do on there, because I don't want it to be a kind of thing where I'm just like asking for a handout, basically. I want it to be something
right.
that I'm putting material on there that you don't see anywhere else. You know, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I have several, I don't know, maybe five or six behind the scenes for mashups that I've done, both the audio and the video. And then, like I said, mashups that didn't make the cut. And sometimes I'll just put some stuff on that I've started working on, and you know, just to get people's opinions on it, whether they like it or not, and if it's worth continuing and that kind of thing. So, you know, just behind the scenes, and a lot of people are really into that, and they want to see, because they're curious, you know, as you are, like how I put the things together, how I get ideas, and why
right.
the two songs work together. So I go into all of that, all the music theory stuff behind it, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know,
now with the mashups, it's really a labor of love for you with the mashups. Are you getting a little bit of something back on the Patreon? I would hope.
Yeah, I am. And that's the only way that I would ever make anything, really, because like I said, YouTube's not going to give me anything. I can't do anything, you know, just from YouTube directly. But yeah, so there are people who are signing up who are, you know, and it's a monthly thing. Like you pledge, you know, the amount that, you know, it's like $3, you know, you give me $3. Some people will do more than that, you know, depending on what they're comfortable with. And, which is great, you know, just to see that there's people who like it enough, not just to subscribe to the channel, but to also support me. So, I mean, that's been fantastic. And I've had it for, I don't think even a couple months yet, you know, a little over a month I've had that page. So, you know, and it's still growing. There's more people signing up for it and everything. So it's got me, I want to put more time into that as much as possible, and, you know,
absolutely
actually get something
and
back for
anything,
it, you know. So.
If you could, I mean, share it to the Rock and Roll Union page, and I'm sure there's plenty of us on here that would absolutely subscribe to what you do. There's so many people. It was funny when I mentioned that you were coming up on the show, there were so many people that reached out and, oh yeah, we love Bill. And like, I sent you a message a couple weeks ago. It's kind of like a staple of Family Time in my household. Like Saturday nights, we watch Bill McClintock mashups, and it's just part of the night
awesome.
That it kicks it off.
That is awesome. That's so cool to hear.
But, The other thing I wanted to ask you is, as far as, you know, one of the funniest things that I get a kick out of as far as your videos are concerned is reading the comments that are with your videos. And it's funny because some people are like, oh, my God, Bill McClintock's God. He knows what he's doing. And what that got me thinking about was, you know, I forget what video it was that I saw the comments for, but they were talking about doing playlists of all your music or doing something along those lines. Did you ever think about maybe doing like a DJ event where you just played all mashups?
You know what? I don't know. I've never done that kind of thing before, but it would be awesome. It would be really cool. You know, just to see what people would think of it. And I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. And part of why I got into doing the mashups in the first place is because I don't have to be in front of people, you know?
I work on them just at my leisure, just in my house, you know, and it's not a performance, but it requires some kind of musical aptitude, some kind of talent to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
And to be able to to be able to share that with people and still have an audience, but not have to actually be on a stage, to be in front. And that's just something that's really appealing to me, because I never wanted to do that kind of, I never wanted to be in a band, be on a stage. And I've done that a handful of times, and it's just not me. It's just not my thing, you know, but to do that and to still have that audience is a really cool thing. But as far as doing a DJ thing, that would put me up in front of people. And like, I think, like, what if people think this is stupid? What if I'm like trying to promote this and they're like, oh, what the hell is this? You know, I don't know. I've never really seriously considered doing it.
Well, I got to say, dude, from the amount of viewers that you have and the subscribers that you have and the people that follow you on a constant basis like I do, I don't think that it would be a waste of a thought to maybe get into something like that. I think you'd do very successful at that.
Yeah, maybe it's worth thinking about then. I don't know.
So it just boggles my mind. Like, when the new Bill McClintock video hits, each video is like a couple hundred thousand views, and it's great, man. I'm very happy to see that you're able to do that.
That's cool. And it's something that I never thought would really happen, to at least to where it is now. I mean, I can remember when I first had my channel, within the first few months, some of the videos had less than 100 views. I think the most that I had was like 3,000, you know, on one of the videos, which was just a ton. And now, like, on the one that I put out the most recently, the Iron Maiden and Doors, that hit, you know, because I keep checking, like, as soon as I upload, I want to see how many views, but that, you know, was a 1,000 views in under 8 minutes of, you know, uploading it. So, you know, there's a lot of people, as soon as they get the notification, like, they want to check it out, they want to hear it, which is just such a cool thing. I never really thought that would happen. So, I mean, that's
cool. Played that one before you came on this evening, and I for you to throw two of my favorite bands together at one point, it was just great to hear.
Nice. Well, that's me playing guitar on that too. For the Doors song, original guitar that was in that, it just didn't, like, it's not the right type of guitar. You know, it's not the right kind of guitar sound to match with Iron Maiden. So I re-recorded it myself, just that all those fills. And it's just, you know, because it had to fit. I had to have the right guitar sound and play it. And it's very rare that I do that, but I'm like, I really want this one to happen, so I'm just going to do it.
That's awesome. Now, my last question for you, Bill, before I let you go, and just because I'm such a fan of yours, and I know a lot of other people that are listening that are, Do you get tired of doing these, or like, do you see an end to this, or are you just really excited to keep going on to the next one?
I don't see an end to it, not anytime soon. There's times where it can be really frustrating. I mean, absolutely, because, you know, because I can go for a while. Like, I'll spend a lot of time trying to find a combination that I like and that works. And it can be a really frustrating thing when it's like, this doesn't work. Like, I just don't want to do it. Like, I just want to just sit and just watch TV or something and not have to think about it. And there's that part of it where it's like, well, now I have people supporting me on Patreon. Like, I kind of have to do something now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not that it feels like work, because it doesn't feel like work, but there's just a little more pressure there, you know, where I feel like I have to deliver. And And there's a lot of anxiety that goes with it too. As I'm finishing
I'm
one
sure.
up, and I'm like, okay, is this perfect? Is this as good as I can possibly get it before I upload it to YouTube and people start watching it? And there's definitely anxiety that goes every time.
And I'm sure
every,
a lot of that anxiety is you on you. A lot of us would probably miss some of the small things that you seem to pick up on yourself.
I think that's true, and I'm probably my own toughest critic, you know, and And like I said, I'm kind of a perfectionist when it comes to them, and just these, you know, tiny little flaws that I can't deal with. And sometimes just, you know, get frustrated where it's like, I just can't fix this. I can't, if I fix it, it changes something too much to where, you know, the integrity of one of the songs is lost. I'm just, you know, I don't want to do it, but it probably wouldn't matter to 95, even 99% of people. It would just, they wouldn't even notice it, but yeah. You know, and I'm just kind of tough on myself when it comes to those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, as far as the Patreon account and anything that you have that's out there, please keep us up to date on the Rock and Roll Union page. I know myself and others would love to help out any way that we can. So
that's awesome. Thanks
so
for
much
having me on the show, man. I appreciate it. Absolutely.
So I'm hoping as other songs come out that we'll get you back on the show talking about some of the new upcoming stuff that you have.
Great. That sounds awesome. Thank you.
So, Bill, thank you so much, brother. You have a great rest of your weekend.
All right. Hey, you too. You take care.
Thanks a lot, bro. Have a good night.
Bye.
There he was, man. Bill McClintock. I'm telling you, if you haven't heard the stuff other than what I played for you this evening, there are so many videos out there for you to listen to. Make sure you go out. You check them out. Bill McClintock is a great guy, teacher, man, elementary school teacher. You're helping out him by becoming part of that Patreon account. Don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mark Knight of Mark Knight and the Unsung Heroes and Bang Tango. And I'll let you guys know now we're more going to be touching base on the new album, Days of a Dreamer. Really excited to talk to Mark. He's been here a couple times already and ready to touch base with him again. So, guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Bure Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Bure, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale, with interviews and other segments now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali. To let you know, you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. It is my extreme pleasure to bring on right now my boy, Mark Knight from Mark Knight and the Unsung Heroes. Mark, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you, CT.
Hey,
how
man,
you doing,
thank
man?
You so much for calling. It's been a long time no talk. How you been?
I'm well. I'm hanging in there, you know, as best as I can, like all of us.
Yeah, I hear you. Believe
Especially
me, I
you.
Hanging on by a thread, man, but I'm there. But I wanted to ask you, now that things are starting to clear up in a couple of spots of the country and things are opening up a little bit, is there any new talk on the Bang Tango front?
The Bang Tango form. I've been talking to Joe. We've been discussing writing some songs. He might come out to my place and talking about putting some songs together. As far as that goes, yeah, that's where that stands.
That's awesome.
Live gigs, nothing in the process. We're waiting on still stuff to clear up.
Now, the one thing that I wanted to ask, and maybe it's something that you guys have never even kicked around, is maybe a possibility for a live stream that, I mean, you do the Pirate Cove frequently, but you do it enough. Any thoughts on maybe doing a Bang Tango one?
No, not at the moment. No, you got guys that there's no discussing of that. Absolutely not. We haven't even talked about that. I see a lot of bands doing that, especially the reunited bands like I saw the Bullet Boys just did one, and it would be cool to do just to kind of like make the fans realize we're still actually a reality, but
right,
no plan for that. To be honest, no plans, no.
So I wanted to touch on Days of a Dreamer. I wanted to spend most of our time discussing Days of a Dreamer. The
awesome.
Album seems to be doing really well sales-wise, and there seems to be a lot of support behind it. How's the release been, and how's everything looking right now?
Sorry,
my son passed through.
The release. We're 2 months in now, and honestly, man, I can't believe how cool it's been. Man, people have just been really latching onto this and digging what I put out. So it's been going great. To be, that's the best two words I could say. Going great. People are digging it. People are a little surprised because it's coming out a little rocking at some points. And, people kind of think I'm just, doing this Americana trip that I do. But, I kind of brought back some rocking stuff here and going great.
Man, I got to say, the first track off the album, I want to pull up my notes here. The first song coming off is Rusty Bones, man, a rocker right off the bat. Where did that come in as far as the songwriting process was concerned, compared to some of the other songs that were on the album, and what made you go with that as far as a intro?
That's an old song off I wrote that back in a band called Worry Beats I was in, and it didn't make the record. Iron Spit and Horse, but always a good song. So we revisited that and brought that back, and that ended up kind of like a good rocker to start off the record.
Hell yeah, dude. And I mean, yeah, there are some really laid back stuff in there, and I'm a big fan of the singer songwriter style. I'm a Jersey guy, so Springsteen's at one of the top. I've noticed.
Yeah, I do.
I noticed some of the stuff in your material, and I wasn't sure if you even were influenced by it, but it kind of reminded me of some of the songs had kind of a U2-ish type feel. I'm talking old school U2, like Joshua Tree album. And
so crazy. I've heard that a bunch. Like, U2 influence. Like, I think that's like the pop 90s influence in me, you know. And plus, Bono was a huge influence. And U2 was inspired by like Americana rock, you know, obviously. You know, so I think maybe I've been getting U2 a lot lately on the record, which is really weird. You know, I don't know why. And Joe just hit me up, you know. He's like, I want to do these U2 style songs. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. My new record. People keep calling me U2. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah. So we're on the same page. But yeah, U2. I mean, I think that's that like kind of like 90s influence of pop music that I grew up on. Kind of came in through my Americana roots acquired through just like me interpreting like modern music. It comes out sounding like 90s pop, like U2. So I think that may be where it's coming from. Yeah.
I mean, I got to say, for me, I loved U2 in the 80s. I loved them up until a certain point. I think the Zeropa tour was as far as I went. And I feel like your sound is a little bit before that.
Yeah, and, like early U2.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Joshua Tree, things along that nature.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah.
And like,
so weird. That's really weird.
But I also wanted to ask you about Wiser Choice and why you chose that as the first single. And I wanted to also ask you about the video behind that.
So Wise Choice, it's not Wiser, it's Wise Choice.
I'm sorry, Wise Choice, right.
Yeah. So basically the first song that I felt like I had a really bona fide great song, you know, the song just was just a killer song. You know, I thought, and then like I rocked it out and did all this stuff. And I felt like it combined like the singer songwriter trip with a little rock edge, and it all like meshed up to a message being like, you know, make the wise choice. And that's what I went with. As far as the video, my daughter did that. She's got her own thing going. She's an indie rocker, got her own career going. She's got a record deal. She's doing her own music.
Nice.
And we were talking, and she said, you need to do a video for your record. I'm like, I don't want to do a video. I don't think video applies to a guy my age and my band. She goes, no. I said, all right, well, you want to do one? And she said, yeah, let me do it. So I gave her the reins, and she went ahead and you know, styled it and just went for it. It was like day in the life of me and my house and my wife and her and, you know, and that's where that came from. It was kind of like real kind of indie rock kind of vibe, you know,
right.
Not like showy and, hey, look at me, you know, this space about like a real life experience of my day to day. Nothing to do like with the lyric exactly. It's just kind of like how she perceived it and she directed it, and that's where we went. That's how it happened.
And, you know, that video really brought a lot to my mind as far as how you live your day-to-day life and how, you know, you came up off of that Sunset Strip vibe, but things have changed completely as far as when you get older, and believe I'm right there with you, believe me.
Yeah.
And it's how time changes and how things are different now. And as far as life is concerned for you, how is it as far as, I don't know if you have a day job. I don't know if you do anything outside of music, but it made me start questioning that. And as far as how things are is like coming off of what was the 80s vibe and rock music back in that time to what is now.
Well, you know, Bang Tango disbanded in 94. And so my basically career changed after that.
Right.
So 94 to now, which is, you know, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. I don't know. Of course, I have to make a living however I can. And so
right. Absolutely.
My tactic was whatever I got to do to make money to play music. And play music to make money. So I've done everything I can, and I'm like an artistic guy. You know, I got into like building furniture, refinishing furniture, staining. I got into this whole like artsy construction kind of avenue where I made money so I could play my music. And that's where I went from there. And that kept the bills paid and gave me the ability to play music whenever I wanted because I was my own boss. So I started my own business called Nightcrafts and basically, you know, just made furniture, refinished furniture, painted people's houses, and built a clientele off of that, but on my own time and schedule so I could do music.
Now, as far as getting older, and, you know, it's something that a lot of us rockers are facing as far as life going by with music, what are your thoughts, like, currently on, like, the way the music scene is concerned, the rock scene is concerned, and you might see things differently. You're on the West Coast as opposed to I'm on the East Coast. How does music look to you right now? As far as rock,
well, a guy who's like 56 years old, making records out of my house, doing it myself. It's all about like, you know, I mean, let's get real here. The pop charts are off the fucking, you know, off the even like spec for me. Like I didn't even think about that. So it's basically, it's hardcore one fan at a time. Like some of these podcasters that said to me, one fan at a time, and you're creating those one fan at a time. I'm just a cold following guy, you know, like you buy my records, I'll make music for you. And my fans keep coming around and they get, it's growing slowly, slowly, slowly. But you know, there's no, especially with the pandemic and all this, you know, we're not touring. I don't have a fucking constant touring band that's going to go out and like sell a million records, but it's all changed. So, the way I look at it, it's just another art form. It's another piece of art I can put out and sell to people that love music and that maybe like my music. And that's been building. And so as it builds, one person at a time, one fan at a time, on my own, like do it yourself, me and my wife have this record company, like, you know, just do it yourself. That keeps me inspired to write more music and continue satisfying my fans and people want to hear my music, you know, because that's really what it comes down to. It could be a jillion people or it could be 100 people. As long as people like are accepting and want to hear more of your music, strives for an artist or a musician to continue to create.
Yeah, man, it's... The one thing that you said that really spoke like directly at me is I've been to shows and in modern time, I want to say modern times because it's definitely not like what it was when we were growing up, when we were coming up. And I've been to shows where they've had the bands come out and meet the people. I'm not talking $500 meet and greets. I'm talking about just the band's coming out and hanging out with the people. I feel it's more personal now. I feel people have more of a direct link to the music.
Well, they do because of social media. Yeah. Yeah. Cause we can like connect on social media and fans are, and musicians, some of them are connecting with their fans that way. Others aren't. Still some are keeping the distance because the mystique of rock and roll is like, you know, you don't want to get too close to your fans because then you're not going to be a fan. They're not going to be a fan to you.
Right.
The sneak is kind of, you know, but I'm just one of those guys like my wife's like, you reach out too much to people. You're too nice to people, but I don't give a fuck. This is what I do. You know, if you like my music, I'm going to talk to you, you know? So I don't know. You know, it's like athletes, like you go see a sports team you love. You know, I mean, are you going to get to hang out with the quarterback of your favorite football team? I don't know. Maybe not. You know,
most likely not.
Oh yeah, most likely not. Exactly.
And you know that's one thing that I'll say as far as like your Pirate Cove sessions are concerned is it feels like you're a little bit more personable with the people. You're a little bit more on that line with the people where people get to know you a little bit more. And do you think? Just your opinion. Do you think that now, because people are able to connect a little bit more personally, even though the money's not involved like it used to be, has rock changed in that aspect as far as making it better to talk to people?
Great question. Really good question. I think that's really hard to answer. I think that, like, you know, the fans now can connect more with their heroes or their musician heroes or whatever, or, you know, so is it good? Is it bad? It all depends on how the musicians take in their audience and, you know, reflect that. Like, I'm like just super honest with people. And, you know, I've always been that way. Even when we were like Big Bang Tango rock stars, you know, I'd always be cool with people. So now it's just like, okay, I'm inviting them in my house and doing these Pirates sessions where, you know, it's real personal. But, you know, does that work for me or against me? I feel it works for me because the fact that I'm like open arms and people love the fact that they can, you know, get in my living room with my wife and my cat and hear me play music.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
To me is like, yeah, that is like honestly the best way to connect with your fans who like your music. And maybe they'll even receive your music more personally and get it. You know, it's not so disconnected.
Right. And, you know, with certain aspects of rock and roll, myself definitely included on this, I started getting pissed off when I started seeing, like, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, when I started seeing, like, the way the music was going and what was being put over the edge. But then I started thinking about it and started thinking about what exactly rock and roll was as far as the human connection, as far as being able to kind of be that bruise on the arm of music. And I feel that rock and roll lately has been more rock and roll-ish, if that makes any sense, than what we've been for a long time.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit down and dirty and gritty and, like, real. That's what it is. It's like all rock and roll is an expression of music that you project your emotions to somebody else through loud guitars or whatever it is. It could be edgy, it could be ballads, it could be cool, whatever. But yeah, I think all those awards things you're talking about, like Rock and Roll Hall, whatever you said, the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Fame, whatever. Those are all awards things where people like decide they're going to like put a band in a certain space. And, you know, all those award shows are a bunch of bullshit to me. It's like, you know, you can't judge an artist, you know? I mean, maybe people like somebody better than somebody else, or they have more success because, it's all a matter of opinion. And those are outside people controlling those award ceremonies, you know? It's like kind of bullshit. But, no, I think rock and roll has got back to like just, hey, this is what, you know, it's all about people – the musicians expressing themselves through music, you know, however it is.
Absolutely. And you know, it also speaks to the art form. It also speaks to, I mean, rock and roll growing up, it was always the lifeblood of the outsider, the lifeblood of those that kind of, you know, didn't fit in with normal society. And maybe by doing those awards, we kind of stepped outside of that.
Yeah, it was a rebellion action from the youth, from going way back, you know, like, fuck society, fuck your parents, fuck whatever it was. You know, and then you just, like, get into it, the music, and it makes you feel a certain way, makes you feel that rebellion attitude, you know, and then you got these award shows saying, this is the best rock band on the, you know, it's like, what a joke. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're going to tell me what's the best rock band? Like, you know, these guys are a bunch of corporate nerds, and they're the ones judging what's the best rock band. Remember that year when, what was that band? Jethro Tull won the best metal artist. they beat out Metallica. Jethro Tull, really? Like, I mean, that's like pretty much says it all for award shows. It's
a
joke.
Absolutely. Now, as far as like Days of a Dreamer and people trying to find that and people trying to purchase that, where do they go about purchasing that? And more importantly, will it ever be available on vinyl?
Vinyl is a good question. I keep getting that from so many people. So, I've actually had some people that want to invest in the band now and the record. So I might actually do a run of some vinyl.
Great stuff.
I'll get that out. But like all the music is on Mark Knight and the unsungheroes.com. That's where you can get it. And you go to the store and you hit up, I have four or five CDs on there and you can get new record. Days of a Dreamer's on there. You can get it signed. You can get it with just whatever. That's where you get it. And you can also get it on iTunes. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. It's on Spotify. It's all on all those other, streaming platforms. So it's out there everywhere.
Absolutely. But most importantly, guys, make sure you buy the physical copy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, otherwise you're only getting paid, what, a nickel?
Yeah, nothing.
So I wanted to end this interview real quick. We played this the first time you were on the show. Wanted to talk about it a little bit more is the Hey Mama track. It's not on the current album. It's on the previous album. But I wanted to talk about the Hey Mama track.
Yeah, that's a good stomp blues rock song that, it was an afterthought for Don't Kill the Cat. And I started recording it and thinking, oh, man, I'd like to bring another vocalist in. So I brought in Oney Logan, and he, like, sang, me and him, like, did a duet. We spit off the verses and back and forth. And that was a rocking tune. And then Danny Saber, the producer, who produced the Stones and U2 and Bowie and all this. I brought him the track after we recorded that song and he offered to mix it. We did a remix and that's what you got. Hey Mama.
That's awesome. So Mark, thank you so much for being with us tonight, man. Please post anything as far as buying the album, supporting you any way we can, man. You know, as far as Rock and Roll Union is concerned, we're right behind you 100%.
Thank you, my man, MT. You're the man.
Thank you, brother. You have a great rest of your evening, brother.
All right, you too. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
You hung me up like a picture.
That was Mark Knight with Hey Mama. His album is available for purchase. Guys, make sure you check out Days of a Dreamer by Mark Knight. I want to say a big thank you to him. Also, a big thank you to Bill McClintock for calling in this evening. Guys, great show. Wanted to thank both gentlemen. And I also wanted to insist on you guys, please, 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 come hang with me the first night out of quarantine. Next Friday night, Bjork, Atlantic City, Roxy Blue, The Goons, Zenora, and Tonal Crush, man. You guys are not going to want to miss that event. Really excited for that. Next Saturday, we'll be live on location at Bar 13. We'll be interviewing Roxy Blue live on air. You guys don't want to miss the show next week. Originally, I was supposed to have no show next week because of the lovely Dee's birthday, but I'm going to steal a couple minutes outside of her birthday, and we're going to go ahead and interview Roxy Blue next Friday night. Guys, I also want to say a big heartfelt thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone that's touched base with me this past week, sent their prayers, their thoughts, their good wishes for the lovely day. Hopefully, and I really do believe so, that she will be out by next Friday. She won't be out at the show with me, unfortunately, because she's going to have to rest for a little while outside of this, but hopefully she'll be home with us and she'll be in her comfort space and everything else will be all right. So, guys, thank you so much for listening this evening. I want to wish you guys the best coming week. Make sure that you do something nice for somebody out there. And remember, when it comes time to discuss COVID, the vaccine, anything else, just realize – we're all going through this for the very first time. Nobody's been through this before. So nobody knows everything. So much love to you guys. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And until next time, remember, rock and roll. Have a good week, guys.